God is a great God, isn't he? Amen. Is there anything that God cannot do? How many say there's nothing God cannot do? How many say there's something that God cannot do? What would you say cannot do? Could sin, that's right. Cannot sin. He chooses not to sin. Does it say anywhere that he can't? It might. But for sure he doesn't. What else? What's another? What would, if something God would want to do, if God really wanted to do something, is there anything that would give him a lot of trouble? Mine. Perfect. Exactly. You must have read my notes. Change our will. We are the biggest challenge that God has ever come up against. The will of a created being. God, it's simple for God to heal. Healing is so simple to God. I mean, if you know, just a little twitch of the eye and everyone on the face of the earth can be healed. Right? Just a little flick of the finger. And everybody can be rich and everybody can be healed. Easy. I mean, actually, he spoke the worlds into existence. Do you think he had to talk for 2 or 3 hours to get it to happen? You know? No, he spoke it. And the worlds became. But we find God dealing with the most difficult task anywhere, and that is to deal with your will and my will. Our will. Everything that happens in your life. Everything that happens in your life is all centered around your will. Do you realize that? All the tribulations, all the great things, all the preaching, everything that happens, and the center of everything is to deal with the will of man. Because in the will of man is victory or defeat for the universe. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? If every human being would choose not to serve God, then how in the world would God reconcile the whole universe since he had given us the ministry of reconciliation? Right? But I don't think we have to worry about that because God is so good that there's plenty of us that will to follow him, right? But see, that's the battleground. The battleground is in your mind. It's not in your relationships. It's not in the church. It's not in the world. It's not with the government. It's not in your body. The whole battle is taking place right between these 2 ears. 6 inches right up here is what is going to determine all things that relate to humanity in this universe. Isn't that amazing? Just how you think. God can do all the miracles written in the Bible in your life tonight if you can just get your will opened up correctly. And tonight I'm just going to take a few little steps about dealing with your own will. How in the world do you change your mind when your mind is wrong? Pretty tough one, isn't it? How do you get out of a hole once you're in the hole? How do you move a mountain anyway? One little shovel full at a time, right? You heard that one? Just one little shovel full at a time and finally the mountain's moved. And we've got to learn the answer on how we can change and get our will correct, get it pure. A pure will will bring about the magnificent will of God in our lives in a way we've never even seen. You know, I experienced this a few years ago. Oh, after about 7 or 8 years of ministry, or, you know, I wasn't a minister, but in ministry, all of a sudden I found that my subconscious mind had been under attack by Satan over a period of time, and I found my will changing. It was frightening. Consciously, I said, oh, no, I don't want my will to change. I don't want to backslide. I don't want to start turning away from the Lord. But it was slowly taking place within my will, and I could sense it. And God taught me the answer of how to change my will back around. You see, how I can allow Him to do that. In Matthew 25, verse 14 and 29, and I don't think I'll read the scripture tonight since it is late, but that's the text. It talks about the talents, doesn't it? That God gave talents unto men, and He gave gifts. And when those faithful servants took the few talents that God had given and used them, it multiplied their effectiveness, right? They became much more effective. And we find in the scriptural several places that principle given. In Luke 16, 9 through 12, it talks about that if you have, it shall be given. If you have not, what you seemeth to have will be taken away. When you use what you've got, I don't care if it's one little tiny thing, then you will be able to use more the next time you try. Once I didn't call, but my wife called my mother. Remember that, Mom, and I said I was all paralyzed? He forgot all that, didn't he? He just forgot all about that? No, you'll forget that. I found myself being attacked by Satan, and I became absolutely 100% paralyzed. And my wife called my mother, and I told her not to. My mouth could move. I said, don't call Mom. Because you never want to worry Mom or Dad. But, you know, wives, they go call Mom, worry Mom, you know, give her brown hair, okay? But what happened was, okay, I won't joke. What happened was that I laid there and I told that slewfoot, you can't have me. Can't do it. And I concentrated on my little finger. And I didn't think about anything else but the end of my little finger. And I said, God, help me move that little finger. And I tried with all my might to move that little finger. And I couldn't move that little finger. But I prayed, God, help me. And that's all I wanted to do was move my little finger. Because I had learned a principle before that you do a little bit, and then you can do a little more, and then you can do a little more. And pretty soon, I could feel my little finger moving about like that. And I sat there and I moved my little finger. Pretty soon, I was doing like this. My wife was standing on me crying, tears running out of her eyes. And, you know, pretty soon, I was moving two fingers. And I must have laid there. How many hours did I lay there, Mom? You remember? Several hours. I wouldn't let you come over, would I? I was a bad boy. But and it must have been 3, 4, 5 hours. I don't remember how long it was. But little by little, I could move my hand. Then I could move my arm. And a little bit I could move something else, and pretty soon I was moving all over. It was a tremendous mental battle, you see. But there's a principle involved. I knew if I could just move one little finger, I had the battle won. I knew I could do it. It's just like I used to have trouble getting out of bed. How many of you ever had trouble getting out of bed? I used to be terrible at it. I was so depressed I couldn't get out of bed in the mornings, you know. The alarm would go off and I'd lay there. And I couldn't figure out how I'm going to get out of bed in the mornings. I want to. I lay there and I think, I'm going to get up, and I wouldn't get up, you know. So finally I laid on the edge of the bed and I slept. I told myself, when the alarm goes off, I'm going to roll over and roll out of bed. And I did it. I just rolled over enough to slide out of bed and hit that old floor. And little by little, I got myself conditioned. I get up and be perky and get out of bed, you see. And over again, the Lord has taught me this principle. When I used to get up and talk, first time He ever asked me to teach it, and it was in His first Assembly of God, and I'd just been saved just a short period of time, and they said, would you teach the college class? You know, that was pretty scary, because I wasn't a talker. I was an introvert. You know, I was okay with a few people, you know, like family or something, but as far as get up in front of strangers. And I had a stuttering problem. Remember I used to stutter sometimes when I get nervous, you know? And I got in front of that college class and stuttered, you know? And my shirt got completely wet. I was so embarrassed. I mean wet. Actually, to the point that it would drip off my shirt tail. It really did. And I tore the top of my mouth. You remember that? And it swelled up, you know? And my knees knocked. And I shook. And I was about this close to him. It was around a little table. About like this. And I sat there doing all of that. Oh, so embarrassing. And the pastor's kids were there. You know, remember old McIntosh's daughters? Well, one of the daughters is in there. And she went and told Daddy everything, you know? But I wanted to quit, because I was a quitter. But I couldn't. And I just felt like if I could just get up there, that was an accomplishment. If I could do that, maybe next time I could do something else. Eventually, guess what? I finally could talk in front of that class. About the time I thought I had it made, then they gave me something bigger. And I started all over again. You know? But little by little, I can actually get up here and talk. I can't believe it. You know? I don't know how good I do, but I can look you in the eye and I don't even get nervous. Okay? I can never do that. You know? I can never do that. But you do a little bit, it gives you strength to do a little bit more. And that's a principle that God lays down in the Bible. That if we will just take anything within our grasp and accomplish it, I don't care if it's to stand up and testify. If it's just to say, praise God, sit back down. Whatever. You know? Whatever. That will get you somewhere. Why do we have so many specials? Why do we have all this? Sometimes 8, 10 specials. You know? Because I know if someone can get up and give a special, someday they can stand on Main Street and witness to somebody. You know what? You just do one thing. If you keep your mouth shut 5 minutes, can't you keep it shut 10? If you get the first five through, can't you do it one? I used to practice that when in previous relationship problems. I'd actually time myself, and I used to keep my mouth shut, you know? I'd just scream and yell and fight, you know, all that stuff. So I'd time myself. I'm going to keep my mouth shut for 1 minute. It was hard. Boy, it was difficult. At the end of that 1 minute, I'd tell her off. That wasn't her. Okay? We haven't had it happen yet. We're saving enough for old age, right? Okay. But I'd tell her off, and I'd scream, and I'd rave. Can you believe I did that? Yeah? Okay. And then but the next time I'd go 2 minutes. You know? Next time 3 minutes. Next time 5 minutes. Guess what? Having that argument for 5 years now. 4 years? 4 years. Hey, go 4 years. I'm not bragging. I'll probably have one tomorrow if I brag. You know? But the principle works. And all of you right now can change. You have your lives completely changed and accomplish anything if you use that principle. Find out what you have. Find out what your talent is. Find out if can you do anything right. Can you, Cindy? Can you do anything right? If you can do anything right, you can do everything right. Isn't that true? If I can take one step, do you think I might be able to walk a block? If I know how to do one step, I can take many steps. If you can be smile, you can be happy someday. Control this, that. If you can learn to do something on the positive side, you'll be totally positive someday. Start working on that. Start working on that. And I guarantee you it worked. You know, it amazes me what we can do if we allow ourselves to go. Do you know there's absolutely no limitation to what we can do? Everyone's a genius. Everyone can do it. Everyone can be just as great as anything. Now, number two thing, it won't take quite that long. How long did that take on that? 10 minutes? Okay, 20? 20 minutes? Oh my goodness, I've already went double what I said. One more principle I want to give you tonight, and that is this. Two things, and one is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where it says, give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. And the other principle is in Ephesians 5:20, give thanks for all things. Two different principles there. They apply to two different kinds of things. We all need to learn to be more thankful on a moment-to-moment basis. It's basically a parallel principle of what I've already said about doing one thing and expanding. If you can learn to be thankful for all things, now some people say, okay, I'm thankful for I got cancer. That's not what the Bible's talking about. It says all things, but the Bible has a rule, and that is, it's always in relationship to the context. You see, when it says all, it doesn't mean all, like everybody in the world. If I go away tonight and I go home and say, you know, everybody was happy, am I talking about everybody in China? No. But I said everybody. Everybody in the world? No, everybody was here, in context. And when you thank God for all things, you're thanking for Him for all things He gave you. Why would I thank God for something Satan gave me? And I want to straighten that out. There's some people do that. They get confused on that. Going around thanking God for things Satan does. Don't you think Satan does that? Man, you get cancer, you go, oh, praise God, hallelujah. The Bible says, praise Him for all things. You know? And they say, oh, Satan says, ha, ha, ha. You know? No. What we do, we thank God for all things that He gives us, which is all good things. And then we praise God and thank God in all things. Now, if Satan does something to you, you can praise him in the midst of that. Learn to do that. Learn to do that. You know, I do something that, and this is going to end up my sermon here. I did something when I first became a Christian. It was kind of, some people would call it hypocritical. Okay? If it was, then it worked. And that was this. When I got saved, believe it or not, everything didn't change overnight. How many believe that? You believe that, Maria? Marie? Everything didn't change overnight. Mike Akins was kind of bad the first week he was saved, like he was the last week before he got saved. Okay? Now, I forgot what I was going to say. What about the last week and first week? Okay, what was it? Mom, you remember what I was going to say? I forgot what I was going to say. Praise the Lord. That was good. Hope I remember. Praise the Lord. Let's see. Oh, I remember. Yeah. Okay. I would get in an argument. You know what an argument is? You know, I'd get in an argument, and in the middle of the argument, I would take and say, praise God! Hallelujah! Can you imagine that? Okay, now let's think about that. I would have sat there, my wife is screaming at me. Unfortunately, it was a previous wife situation. And be screaming at me, and I'd be screaming at her, and I'd say, oh, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And then I'd start screaming again. I really did, Jack. Because the Bible said to praise Him in all things, and I figured if I could just force myself to praise Him in the midst of an argument, that probably someday I wouldn't fight no more. I just thought that might be possible. You know? And my wife would say, you hypocrite! You no good hypocrite! I'm praising God with one mouth and then turn right around and yell at me with another one. But guess what happened? It worked. It really worked. Because little after a while I felt so bad about, after praising Him, saying something bad, that I stopped saying something bad, you know. But, you know, I don't, but God, it works. Praise God in all things, and it will change all things. Right? Praise God. Okay, any questions or comments? Praise the Lord. Anybody want to add anything else there? Short sermon, but if you really practice it, it'll work. Yes, Jack. Right. The will of man, or created beings. Right. Well, the deal that is, it all, you know, God can only respond to the will. He can't get inside the will. So some people respond right, some wrong. It's up to them. But what's the deal is that it's an act, the will is the one act that comes totally to within us. God cannot cause us to will either way. You know, that's a total act that we must do. He can free us up so we can, you know, will, but he can't affect our will beyond just stimulating it. Say, and if God could, everyone would be saved. Because it's God's will, everyone would be saved, right? Praise God. Why don't we all stand on our feet? Praise the Lord.